It makes no sense whatsoever, and it is a clear double standard. The first thing I would say is I do welcome the stance that DCC have taken on this. They've obviously been watching and listening. They are as close to anybody in terms of all the twists and turns of the defective concrete crisis. And they seem to have taken on board the reality of the situation. And it is also a positive move for the residents of that social housing. They're talking about demolition as opposed to remediation. This all relates to a tender document that the council has issued prior to Christmas, asking for what they call a design team, which is effectively a team of construction professionals to come forward to manage this from end to end. I mean, effectively, it looks like what they've done in one foul swoop is almost rewritten the DCB scheme for social housing in the county. It appears to be, and I would qualify that with regard to this is quite new information. We've had Christmas, we're seeking clarification on exactly how this is going to work, but it appears to be an end-to-end scheme managed by construction professionals. They're talking about demolition as opposed to part remediation. It's to current regs, or even better, they're talking about NZ homes, which is true proficient homes, disability access if required, re-landscaping, septic tanks. It really is
bells and whistles, really. It's the scheme. It's the scheme almost for public owned property. It's the scheme that tens of thousands of people marched through Dublin seeking for. Now it's not all there, of course, but seeking for private homeowners. Can you talk to us what the implications of rebuilding to 2007 regulations are? Is that clear? Is that easy to explain, Lisa? The deficit that is there between those regulations and sort of where we are at now and where we're going.
Well, I think a lot of the big ones do relate to energy efficiency. Now, you know, the department would argue that homeowners who apply to the DCB scheme can avail of SEAR grants. But I can tell you for a fact that there is no straightforward route there. And, you know, it is an absolute nonsense. It's quite irresponsible, quite honestly, that we've got a scheme where it's 6 months into the scheme, and we don't know exactly how homeowners should even proceed to avail of those SEA grants. This could all be done away with. They've just made it way more complicated than it needs to be. That could all be done away with if you just built to new standard regs as a part to old standards, and then to try and tack on renovations via SEAI grants.
And all the money is coming from the one pot. It's not like there's a different revenue stream for the grants versus the defective concrete blocks scheme. It is inexplicable. No one could explain it to me in a way I could understand, I don't think, because clearly you're talking about the same arms of the state. You say, right, okay, well, why would we have them go through a process of applying for grants? We'll just adjust the scheme to ensure that the house is built to a certain standard and keep Eamon Ryan and the Green Party happy at the same time.
Absolutely. I mean, you know, this is what we've got to remember. We've got a Green Party coalition, and they are part of the party.
But where are they in this conversation? Like, I can't get access to a lot of these people anymore because I ask two pointed questions, I think, sometimes. But in fairness, Eamon Ryan has come on the show, and I'm sure he will into the future. I'm not blacklisted there. But my point is like, it would be very interesting to hear from Eamon Ryan what he thinks of this scheme, that it's disincentivizing insulating our houses to current standards.
Yeah, what the DCB for private homeowners recommend is directly in contradiction to every single government policy that is being pushed forward with regard to energy and environmental concerns. So it's an absolute, it makes no sense whatsoever. And one would think that, you know, a scheme that deals in billions should be a legacy project. There should be no short-termism with regard to, as you know, something that is going to cost billions. That should be looked way, way into the future. And if you're not prepared to build to current regs, energy efficiencies, environmental concerns, it makes no sense. And on top of that, we've got a Green Party coalition advocating that we should build to, you know, nearly 20-year-old regulations. The hypocrisy, Greg, is utterly off the scale. And I would love for, you know, to come on the programme and speak to Eamon Ryan. I will be there if you can get Eamon Ryan on, because we have been pushing and shoving from all angles to try and get a Green Party response to the DCB scheme, and we can't get anything either.
Yeah, well, listen, we'll make our inquiries again. In relation to the scheme in and of itself, is anyone moving through it at the moment? Because, like, in terms of the current scheme, the jury's still out on foundations. There's new scientific evidence now to suggest that really we need to be tossing these houses, lifting the foundations, starting from scratch. We heard from the head of the council himself. I asked him if he had to avail of this scheme, would he rebuild his house on the old foundations? And he suggested, and I hope I'm not misquoting him, he said that he would try and source the funding to change the foundations as well. So all directions of traffic are going in the one way. Is anyone accessing this new scheme, or is it to wait and see, or we're seeking clarification, or when the next announcement might be made? What's the situation at the moment?
Yeah, I just pick up on that, Greg. That's a really good point with regard to the foundations, and that is something that we need to seek clarity from with regard to this tender, in terms of how the council is going to tackle foundations. Because as you rightly point out, when John McLaughlin appeared on the show with you a few months back, he did advocate to homeowners that if they could lift foundations, that's what he would advocate. So one can only imagine that if he's putting in place a council-led scheme, that's what he will indeed advocate. So that is a key point that we need clarity.
Actually, we might make an inquiry to the council directly, looking for clarification on that specific point, because I think that is actually, as well as the standards, that's actually, I think, of equal importance. But go ahead, Lisa.
Yeah, it is very fundamental. And obviously, as you know, there was the latest tranche of scientific research. And this is the research was commissioned by government. You know, so this is their own research done in a way that they asked to be done. And that is vindicating that at the moment, we cannot guarantee any part of the concrete that contains the defective aggregate.
And it poses the interesting question about the whole scheme, which I thought was a fascinating question, we need to decide what a house is. Is a house 20 years? Is a house lifetime? Is a house to be bequeathed? You know what I mean? Because if it is to be there for 100 years, well, then all the concrete has to be changed, because it all contains defective elements and it will all deteriorate, maybe at different paces, but it will. So that, I think we have to decide how long people are entitled to a home for as well, which forms all part of that new science, I think.
Yeah, and I think also you've got to think about the sort of mental strain on people as well. There is that legacy issue in terms of, you know, a home should be built with a view that it's going to be there for generations to come. It should be there for our children and grandchildren, and it should be a legacy in the county, you know, good standard homes. But I think you also have to think about the mental strain of somebody living in a home, not knowing if that home is potentially going to fail again in the future. And it's that uncertainty. And I think that's a word that crops up, you know, in conversations with homeowners affected by this issue all the time, this uncertainty, and it sort of gnaws and grates on people's mental health in terms of, is my home good? Is it going to last? And dealing with that, you know, for years and years to come, you cannot put people into that situation. It's almost abusive. You know, those are really, really big issues. And you're not talking about potentially huge amounts of cost to make a home potentially good for a couple of decades, or a home good for generations.
Even the cost things, it's multi-generational. There's a huge clawback from the state in the building process. Do you know, like, I'm not saying for a second that this isn't a burden on the state. Don't get me wrong, of course it is. But this is long finger stuff as well for many, many of these homes. It's not going to be 300 billion this year. That's ridiculous. I mean, we're going to be competing for builders with the council now, for crying out loud. They're looking for them to build projects together and tie them up for years. God knows who's going to build all of the private houses as well, and that's no slight on the council. But this is multi-generational potentially, and as I say, there's a huge clawback in a lot of the spend from government, not to mention the fact that it should be trying to get some money back from the insurance companies and the banks as well. Do you know, it's I can't believe we're still having this. I can't believe that logic and decency isn't prevailing here. And if that sounds like I'm on the side of the homeowner, I make no apologies for that.
Yeah, and that's it, Greg. And what we've got to do, we've got a government that resists logic, resists facts, resists science, resists expert opinion, resists the experience of the homeowners. And it is that, you know, cloth-eared, arrogant approach. I'm not gonna, you know, mince my words. It is an arrogance of policy decisions being made by people who are insulated, who are just not taking on board. You know, they would claim to have meaningful conversations or meaningful engagement, I think is the term they use. It's not, because they're not listening to the logic, the science, and the experience of homeowners. And the result of that is they're not making the right decisions. And this is, you know, the latest, you know, this scheme really, the difference between the DCB scheme that's been given to the private homeowners and the council run, that's vindication of everything that the campaign has been pushing for the last number of years.
A caller says, if your defective concrete block house is built in 2015, do you have to rebuild to 27 regs? I'm not sure when the regs changed. I think, you know what I mean? I'm not sure if maybe, is there different regs in 2015 versus 2007? If there are, yes, you would have to go backwards in relation to that. But I don't want to put you on the spot. I don't know how often the regs have been updated.
That's exactly it. I mean, again, you know, the illogic of the DCB scheme, you could have a home that is built much more recent standard regs, or you could have built your home over and above the regs at the time, which some people did with regard to, you know, energy concerns, etc. However, if you partake of the DCB scheme as it stands at the moment, that's it. We go back to the 8 regs. So,
and listen, what that boils down to, by the way, and you correct me if I'm wrong, what this boils down to is 100% redress, right? Because I don't think the expectation is that someone will build to 2007 regs. It's that what they'll do is they'll put their hand in their own pocket or go back to the bank and build it up to current regulations. And then, of course, if they choose to do other... So in other words, this is about where I see that important. It's about the 100% element of this. Now, I don't think anyone accepts that this is a 100% redress scheme. I haven't yet to speak to anyone that believes that they can replace their property without having to reborrow or dipping to savings or whatever it might be. Maybe you can correct me on that one again, Lisa, but that's what this is about, isn't it? It's about, you know, you're gonna probably build to more modern regs, but you're gonna pay for it, of course, less the SEAI grant.
Yeah, and that really goes back to what you were saying before excuse me, in terms of who's availing of it. And I think it is those people, you know, I think those people who maybe have that resource to be able to push forward, to be able to dip into savings or borrow as required, you know, in terms of those people who maybe can strip out foundations without being financially supported. But it's pushing everybody to the limit. You know, it's not easy. People are making huge sacrifices. But you've got people who are absolutely desperate to get to the other side of this. You know, they are just trying to employ every sort of, you know, sort of method to be
but,
able
but
to...
But there's, like, old, there's many old, there's, there's many older people that simply can't borrow. Exactly. There's people who credit rating has gone through the floor. There's people who are already paying a €1,500 mortgage with 30 years to run on it or 25 years to run it. They simply can't go back to that well again. You know, and people are at the same time having to try and send their kids to college and not being able to do so because money's being taken away from that resource. Like, the ripple effect, the ramifications for so many families. Yes, there are those that can say, stuff it, I want this behind me. We have that, you know, €120,000 nest egg. I don't know, I don't think there's that many of them, but they're out there. But I think an awful lot of people simply are probably just hoping something changes and keeping their head down as much as they can for 2023 and see what happens. Is that the feeling you're getting, Lisa?
Yeah, that's definitely the case with some. I think that those maybe who have more resource, they maybe have skills, they maybe have financial resources behind them, they may be able to find a way to get through. And there are definitely those, and certainly those in vulnerable situations those who do not have the financial resources, those who do not have the physical or mental capacity to deal with this, because this is a really, you know, it's a serious undertaking which tests the best of us. And this is why we need an end-to-end scheme. This is why, you know, I'd go back to what the council are doing. That's exactly why we need an end-to-end scheme, because a lot of those issues would be taken away, because suddenly then you don't have to project manage it. Suddenly you're not looking for shortfalls, because we're under the guise of an end-to-end scheme. The financial responsibility comes into the management of that authority that is actually managing it.
But also too, rather than us individually trying to get contractors, if there was a bit more oversight, group houses into group 10 houses around Mallon together and get a contractor in and maybe get it cheaper or what have you. I don't know, maybe that wouldn't be financially beneficial, but I mean, like, let's take the council model and copy it.
Yeah, and I mean, you would think that would make economic sense, Greg, because, you know, there must be, if you're building thousands of houses, there must be economic gains to be made, economies of scale. I mean, what the government has actually done with the DCB scheme for the private homeowners as it stands, it's almost created a sort of micro competitive environment. So we're already under, you know, under pressure to get hold of trades, developers, etc. And then what, in terms of, you know, nationally, and then what the government has done here is literally pitched homeowner against homeowner and created this extra sort of competition within the DCB.
But then they've also pitched those with resources against those that don't, because of the way the money comes through, and you know, maybe some being able to front load and others not being able to. So it's a problem within a problem within a problem, Lisa.
Yeah, and it's really irresponsible. It's really irresponsible, because the converse of that is if you did have an end-to-end scheme and a much more systematic approach of working through all the houses, getting the economies of scale with regard to the buying in of materials, the use of contractors, etc., that would actually, you know, you could benefit from the economies of scale as opposed to be pitching homeowner against homeowner.
Right, okay. A caller says, how can we be sure this is happening? Have you read the document? It was my understanding it was only a draft document. Well, listen, Damien Dads wouldn't have done the story in the Inish Own Independent if he wasn't sure. Even if it is a draft document, it's far better than any draft document that was made for private homeowners in any case. Has this been formally sent out? Is it a working document at this point? Do we know, Lisa?
It's part of the way that the council issues for tender competitions. So it goes out on a system called e-tenders, and it's basically them saying, we would like relevant parties to put in a tender for this particular project.
Okay, it's beyond the draft. Lisa, thanks for your time.